As we get started today, I want to say, again, start this off with a special thank you to all the veterans in our country. Like I say, we have freedom in this country, and it's not free. There's a lot of folks who sacrificed and made a lot of sacrifices with themselves and their families for us to have the rights and things in which we've had. And for all of our active military right now today, too, also a special congratulations and shout-out to them, too. It was a special day. And without all them, we would not have the things and be able to do the things we're doing right now. And also a couple of our guys, Joseph Mawad and John Locke, who are also were actually Marines. They're on our team now as walk-ons. They were actually Marines and served in the service. And special thank you to them also. So great shout-out to them. So, all right, off week, come back, worked very hard, had some good fundamental practice, worked on some schemes for our upcoming opponents that are coming in, some different things that we may implement in as we go, just introduced them. So our guys, when we put them in during game week, will have a general idea what they're about. Worked a lot on fundamentals and hopefully got better on those three good physical practices and got some time off. Hopefully we'll come back sharp and ready to play this week and have a great week of practice. Can play South Carolina. South Carolina is a very talented football team. I know they come off a tough loss this weekend, but it's also a team that went to Georgia and won and did very well. Very, very, very talented football. Played Florida to the hilt. Got a couple calls that were very tough on them in that situation. They could have won that football game. I mean, they got a very good team. They can run the football. Young quarterback gets better and better each week. Edwards is an outstanding receiver, and they're going to get two of their receivers back. 18 guys. Those guys will be back this week, hopefully. What it sounds like in the media for them is a receiving core, so they'll be more dangerous there. Defensive front-wise, one of the best fronts we'll see all year. One of the top fronts in this whole league. The inside guys are very physical, can rush the passer, very dominant, very strong up front. Linebackers are active. Secondary guys can run. Both corners are long, lanky, 6'3", 6'4", guys. Safeties can tackle, can come downhill. So very good teams and special teams. They do a really good job. Will's a very good football coach, very sound. Look at all the things. And when you sit there and look for, as you get in formations, different teams you'll play and say, well, we can get something here, you get something. There's not a lot you get. You're going to have to earn it. They line up in the right places, do the right things, and have a good football team. So they're going to come in here guns blazing, ready to play, and we need to come out of the break and finish this next three games, play the way we need to play. But we've got to start it off this week first and play a great game. And, this game was a great game last year, and it always is a great game, and we've got to play well. So hopefully we will.
Down front, Brent, and then Olin.
I think you're three scholarship seniors now, so I wanted to ask you, what is the good and bad of having such a young team?
Well, I mean, I think the good is you see the future as if you keep progressing and getting better, which I think you can see. And you see a lot of us, a lot of the guys that are making plays on offense and defense and even special teams. You see all that youth. You see the excitement. But at the same time, you wish they always could grow up and know more quicker. I mean, and handle situations, how to practice, how to do this, how to deal with that situation. So but also that innocence sometimes gives you they don't feel things at times either. You know what I mean? They don't realize what they're in time. They're just playing. And sometimes that's good too. So, but it's great, and I think that's who we are. And the good about it is that you can see that we've definitely recruited the right guys, and I think they got great futures. And I think where we're going and how we're getting there is the right way. We're playing the right way, doing the right things, and those guys are having a huge part of it, along with some of the upperclassmen who I think will come back and play very well. So I think you see the future is extremely bright. But at that time, there's always a, as I say, a knucklehead thing that happens that has nothing to do with anything but one word, experience in time. And sometimes you got to fight through those things.
Second row right, Olin.
Can I ask two things?
Sure.
All right. Number one, Coach, if I'm not mistaken, this will be the fourth time y'all faced a true freshman starting quarterback. And I wonder if you think, do you look at that as just kind of an anomaly, or is this something that you'll think is going to become more common?
You'll see more and more of it. I think you're going to force kids to play. I think kids are getting pushed to play. I think the high recruited guys are, getting into that mix more. And I don't think it's anything that is out of the ordinary anymore. I mean, I really don't. I mean, I don't think those things are. I mean, when we said Tebow was the first sophomore to ever win the Heisman, Johnny won as a redshirt freshman, then Jameis won as a redshirt freshman. I mean, those things are all going to become normal now.
Okay, and then secondly, in the last couple of weeks, there's been two coaches at pretty high-profile programs being fired with less than 2 years on the job. Do you find that to be an alarming trend, or?
I don't know. I don't ask my thoughts and prayers go with those schools and those coaches because those players are the ones that, they're trying to play and they've got to get them right. I mean, but that is the world we live in. I mean, as things happen, things are going on. And also I think, each situation is definitely different, and I think each school has to base on what they think is right and what they think is wrong.
Front left, Zach, and then Travis right next to him.
Jimbo, with the relationship that you have with Will Muschamp, does that make games like this more interesting? I mean, I know you know probably a lot of coaches that you play, but, I mean, having a relationship with
him. It doesn't make it any fun. It doesn't make it any more fun. I mean, it's a competitor, and you got to go compete, and you can't worry about who it is. It's like you say, if it's even your brother, you got to go compete and coach your tail off. But you'd rather play guys that aren't friends or that you know as well, be honest with you. I would. I mean, personally.
Front left, Travis.
Hey, Coach. Anaya Smith, I know we've talked a lot about him, but how has he developed even more over the last couple of weeks, and what growth has he shown?
Well, I think versatility to learn. Be able to move, you know, start out in a slot, and he can go slot weak, he can go outside. His punt return capabilities, getting him on the field, getting touches. I mean, just his overall knowledge of things. This guy's going to be is a really good player, and he's going to develop into a really good player because he has three things. One, he has ability. Two, he has super competitiveness. And three, he has great intelligence. He gets it. You know what I'm saying? And football makes sense to him. So you can do things. He understands. And I'm going to tell you what, he's physical for his size. And what I'm saying, he's shorter. And I joke about it all the time with him, but he's not little. He's a strong guy. He can block. He runs through tackles. He can arm tackle. He breaks tackles. I mean, and just he has a natural knack to play the game and, you know, love him to death.
Right side, Gabe.
Hey, Jimbo, their defensive line, Wanham gets a lot of headlines, Ken Law, but this Aaron Sterling guy is putting up some huge numbers. How much has he made them more complete?
I mean, all the way across. You look at their defensive line, I say that they're one of the top in this league. I mean, to say who's the top, you can argue back and forth, but they're right there in that conversation. I mean, when you go across the board, ends, tackles, play the run, play the pass, be able to make him, I mean, stunts and, you know, so I got him one-on-one or on a run block, we can get him, and all of a sudden he stunts and he gets an inside stunt. Or I mean, those guys are a pain now. They really are, and they're coached very well, so – and do a good job on defense. They are a complete defensive line, and having all those guys on the end and inside makes it tough.
So back left, Suzanne or Chuck? Suzanne first, ladies.
Ladies first. Jimbo, in the middle third of the season, you had an opportunity, I guess, to work more on your running game and with your tight ends. Those are being more effective weapons. How much better do you think on offense you all are now to – go forth these next three games?
Well, hopefully
than you were
a lot.
A month ago.
Hopefully a lot. And again, that comes with just time. You had to get those guys in those situations to understand how to do it. And not understand the consistency it took, the technique it took, the physicality it took. I mean, those guys are extensions of linemen. They're blocking all those big ends and tackles that you're talking about a lot of times. So as they continue to grow, it's allowed us to do a lot more things and take some pressure, you know, off the quarterback, being able to run the football, then build them into play action passes and things that go on. So it's been a big part of it. That's why I love using those tight ends so much.
Staying on left, Chuck.
Kind of in the same vein. Since the Auburn game, you've proved in rushing every single game since then. And from that standpoint, is it the guys up front? Is it the running backs maturing, tight ends? I mean, is there a combination?
To answer a question, yes, and I don't mean that because the backs, I mean, you think at that time Spiller had to go into that game. He hadn't really played a lot. I mean, that was, and as you're finding out, that's one of the best defenses that we had faced all year. And their front guys were really good. I mean, they'll have a lot of guys get drafted off that front and very high. And I think we've gotten better up front. Our tight ends, our edges have gotten better. And our backs and the runs and the lanes they've run and how they got to run, the physicality they got to run with, taking care of the football, those things have all gotten better. And it just – that was the part of the pain. You know, he said the good things about young guys and the bad things about young guys. You know, it is. You knew they could do it, but how soon and at the level you got to be at to win in this league, how quick could they get there? And I think you're starting to see that now. They're getting better and better. Kind of a carryoff from the first question Brent asked.
Front right, Brent, and then Olin.
One of the first things you talked about when you arrived here was expanding the brand. The 2020 class, I think, has 20 players now. Obviously, you can't talk about individuals, but from 9 different states. So obvious question here, but do you feel like it's working?
Yeah, I mean, and like I say, I've always said this. We want to work inside out. We want to work inside out, and you got to work your home bases out. And then, if we go out, if we can get the guys, if we can't get the guys, but you can't always limit yourself to that because sometimes guys will come or there may not be something of that particular position that year, and you have to be able to brand yourself. And I think that's what the game of college football is now. It's a national game. And we have things that attract folks here. When you see the facilities, the stadium, the commitment to excellence, where we're going, how the program is, and the resources that A&M has for the tremendous education it has. I mean, you're a top 20 school in the country. Your former students, the number of former students, how Aggies take care of Aggies, the Aggie ring, all those things. When people start getting introduced to those things, it makes a big difference. This is a tremendous, tremendous place to sell things to, and people see what we're doing here, and hopefully that'll continue on the trend in which we're going.
Right side, Olin.
But we still love to, and we still want to work inside out. We always want to work inside out.
Coach, after you got here, how long did it take you to think that Justin might be a a special player, and has he played to the maybe high expectations
there.
You had?
I liked Matabuke a lot early. I really did. I liked him a lot early, for some reason, the way he jumped off the page at me and just his athleticism and some of the things he did, and he's really learning how to be that guy. I mean, he's continually learning each and every day because, yeah, remember, he's a young guy. He didn't play much as a freshman, played a little bit, and then really last year and this year is the 2 years he's played. And he's learning to be that guy and how to do it each and every down in situations too. You know what I mean? I go back to that experience and putting yourself and what to expect, how to expect when people start to know who. Then you become a relevant player and you get double teamed, or how you open up another guy, or how you get off of that thing. He just keeps getting better and better, and like I say, he keeps improving. He's got a chance to have a really, really bright future in this game.
To the left, Cease, and then Alex.
Where is Kellen's game coming off this three-game winning streak, and is he exactly probably where he's at, where you thought he would be coming into the season?
Nobody's ever where you want him to be or where you thought they're going to be. but I think a guy who understands his role and how to compete and how to play and understands our offense and is very open to his thinking and seeing things. What I'm saying is he understands the run game. He understands the pass game, getting us in and out of the right plays, getting us in and out of the right protections. He's making good decisions, being accurate with the ball. I think he's playing really good football, and I think he's using his legs when it's the right opportunity. People say, well, he should look to run. You don't look to run. You react to run. You know what I mean? There's called runs. If you have a called run or you read it and you do it, but you got to react. You can't say, I'm just going to go look to run. And he's doing. He's letting the game come to him. And what I'm saying is there's this term I always call trust your eyes. You got to trust what you see and react and play. And if you think about it and you think what's going to happen and you start – it becomes crazy. There's a relaxation period where, okay, I got this, let me just – and as it happens, I'll just do it. And it's as you grow in what you do, just like you guys do when you write. You know what I'm saying? A story can't come to you and it's panic. You know, I got it, and all of a sudden, it just – you start flowing. You know what I'm saying? You ever do that when you write? You know what I'm saying? The words come to you. Same way when you play. You can't go out there and say, I'm going to go run for 100 yards, I'm going to go throw for 300. You got to trust your eyes and make decisions based off what – because the game's bigger than all of us. It's coached it and played it. And I think he's doing a really good job of trusting his eyes right now and reacting to what he sees.
Second row, Alex, and then to the back.
Hey, Coach, going back to Brian Edwards, what kind of threat is he and what does he really add to that offense?
I mean, you're talking about the leading receiver in school history at South Carolina. They've had some daggone good guys there. I mean, some good guys. They had a guy named Sterling Sharp there one time was pretty good too. I mean, and they threw it back then with Todd Ellis. They threw it a bunch back then. So, I mean, this guy's big, he's long, he's physical. Can catch the underneath ball and run with it. Can catch the ball over the top. Can jump ball and get the ball. He's a punt return guy. Got yards after catch. Physical in the block. Yeah, I mean, touchdown catches, red zone with his body. I mean, he'll be a great pro. This guy's going to be a great pro.
To the back behind the lights, Tyler.
You talked about South Carolina as being a capable team and a very talented mm-hmm. one. So, I guess, what's the main focus? How would they be able to beat you, and what are you guys going to be focused on this week?
We have to focus on ourselves. We have to focus on what they do and what techniques in which we got to play against them. But we got to be focused on ourselves and play our game. Do what we do, run our techniques, and execute our plays and keep pressure on them in all three phases constantly because they're a very good football team. They can play. They got good players. And what you can control is what you can control, and that's how you play. And the way you play, the attitude you play with, the intensity you play with, the focus, but the detail and the execution in which you play with. You have to do it for, you know, four quarters.
Staying to the left, Suzanne and then Sam.
Hey, Jimbo, I wanted to ask you more on the quarterback deal. Mm-hmm. Just big picture, you're a guy who is known for working with quarterbacks, and it is a trend where you're either starting as a freshman, and if you don't, you leave. And like Kellen, you know, started since his freshman, so it's kind of like an either-or and lots of transfers. So one, is the horse out of the barn on that? Can you do anything about it? Because I'm assuming you prefer to grow your quarterbacks within the system. And two, what would be your spiel to – a young quarterback who you would want to stay for a while?
Well, I think two things. I think I would say as a general statement is probably there's that position leaves more than any other position because you usually only play one. But I also think it bases off the individual. I think it bases off the individual and what he sees his future as and where he sees his role at. And, you know, can he play as a sophomore, a junior, or a senior and where he goes? And my thing is it isn't where you start the race, it's where you finish. Are you going to be prepared when you get to the next level? Do you understand protections? Do you understand how to read coverage? Do you understand how to go through a progression, whether it's a progression of routes or a progression from coverage and how it gets you to there? Do you understand run? Do you understand fronts? Your knowledge of the game, you can hurry to play and play, but sometimes when you play a ton when you're early, you don't know all the things you need to know. And everybody says, well, experience is huge. It is. But also knowledge is even greater. Knowledge is the greatest thing you can have, wisdom and knowledge. And sometimes that takes time. So sometimes patience is a great thing. And I think that's also why I think sometimes you have guys that don't succeed as well at the next level. Some do, some don't. And it's always been that way. But I think, you know, sometimes you're not quite ready. You don't have enough information in your computer up here to play at that next level. You know what I'm saying? So I think, you know, you got to look at what the circumstances are and what your opportunities are. And say if you started 2 or 3 years, Lord Almighty, is that a disaster? I mean, it's really not. And I think at that position, it makes a big difference. I mean, it really does. I mean, but it is. It's a trend in our world, not just there. I think at any position. That's just the way our world is and the way things are right now.
Staying to the left, Sam, and then Gabe, you'll wrap us up.
Jimbo, over here.
Yes, sir.
You mentioned about the backs and the tight ends coming along. I feel like from the outside looking in, Kellen had to shoulder a lot of the load as, you know, guys, you know, mm-hmm. came into their roles. I'm curious how you think he handled that and if he maybe doesn't have to shoulder as much down the stretch as you guys have gotten better at other
positions.
Well,
I say that. I think he's going to – he does – here's the thing. He's handling it in different ways, and their production is still a product of him doing the right things. You know what I'm saying? I think he's shouldering it in a different way, not as much maybe physically as he is mentally, because we can do more and put them in position to handle the ball more in key situations and do things. But, I mean, yes, he did shoulder a lot of it, but I think he did really well. I mean, he gave us opportunities to be successful in those games, brought us in those games, compete in those games, and he played his heart and his toughness, and you know, that's part of a quarterback. That's why a quarterback is such a team. Sometimes you got to put more on your shoulders. Sometimes you got to allow the guys around you to function. That doesn't mean, you know, that people say, well, that guy's a game manager. That's the greatest compliment any quarterback can ever get. I don't care. Great players are game managers. The great ones are game managers. Joe Montana was a game manager. Tom Brady is a game manager. John L., they all were. They managed the right decisions, and then when they had to make plays physically, they could do that. And I think he's getting to that point, and that's why it's going to be fun to watch. And as we put the pieces around him to continually grow, it's really I think it'll be fun to watch. I really do.
Right side, Gabe, you wrap us up.
You feel pretty good about Elijah Blades and Damani Richardson playing in this game, Jimbo?
Yeah, I mean, they practiced, and they should be good to go. Yes, sir. I mean, we'll see as they get out there, but that's as I'm getting reports now, yes.